Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, looking spry. Are you spry, Grandma?
Here comes the sun.
What?
Here comes the sun. This reminds me of the Sun podcast.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad. There's not nearly as much physics to it, especially not particle physics or spooky physics. It's pretty straightforward, really. It was very richly detailed,
yeah,
dense in structure and content. But really, if you break it down, volcanoes, well, that's what we're paid to do, Chuck, and that's what we are going to do.
Yep.
Let me do my intro first. Did you ever see Joe versus the Volcano?
One of my favorite all-time movies.
All time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, probably top five.
I've seen it at least 12 times.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. The pre-serious Tom Hanks best role.
Yeah.
I think so. Beats the tar out of Bosom Buddies.
I'm a big Bachelor Party guy.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
But in this movie, he is sent to Whapani Wu, right? Which means a little island with big volcano.
The big woo.
To jump into the big woo.
Yeah.
To basically appease the Waponies.
Yeah.
Who need somebody to sacrifice himself into the volcano to calm the volcano god so everything can keep going on, right?
And they can keep drinking their orange soda, which they're famous for loving.
Yes. Was it Fanta?
I think it was ND brand for the movie.
So you remember then when he jumps in, what happens? Well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but you remember what happens, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Chuck, do you realize that as of this week, we've reached a weird point in our life where we can explain what happened?
Yeah.
In that movie.
Because it's not explained by the great John Patrick Shanley, who wrote and directed that.
No.
He didn't need to because it's a movie.
Yeah. But isn't that weird? That were we sitting next to our other significant others watching this movie, we could turn to them and say, here's actually what happened. And this is the type of thing that just happened.
Yeah, of course, it really wouldn't happen that way, but...
We'll figure it out.
I don't want to ruin the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it, because we've been chastised for spoiling, like, 30-year-old movies before.
In series that ended, like, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good series, though.
E.T. phoned home.
Let's talk about volcanoes and how they work.
Josh, a volcano, a lot of people might say, is a big mountain with a square top that spits fire everywhere and kills people.
I don't know about square top.
That is not true, because any place on the planet Earth where the Earth, the inner Earth leaks out into the outer Earth is a volcano.
Wherever Earth gets a boo-boo
is a
volcano, right?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so the Earth is composed of three... We should really just do the broad stroke basics real quick, right?
Sure.
The Earth is composed of three general mega layers, right?
Yeah.
You've got the thinnest layer, which is the outer crust, which is what we walk around on, which is the bottom of the ocean, that kind of thing.
20 to 44 miles deep on land, and that sounds...
No, on... Yes, you're right.
That sounds super big, but that's actually really thin.
So from its thinnest part at the bottom of the ocean, it's 3 miles down, deep, or thick, up to, like you said, 44 miles, right? And then under that, you've got the mantle, right?
Yep.
And then you have the inner core, which is where the inner core the inner Earth people live, right?
Yeah, and the mantle's the biggest part, really, really hot, but not melty because of one word that is the key to all things volcano.
Pressure.
Pressure. Anytime, like, everything about volcanoes is pressure related, it seems like.
Yes.
Somehow.
And it's hot enough, this mantle, it is solid, but it's hot enough to melt, but the pressure is so great, it can't melt. It can't be liquid. It's forced to stay in the solid form, right?
Yeah.
The other key thing that we need to touch on before we get into volcanoes is the, continental drift theory, plate tectonics.
Yeah.
Right? That there are at least seven large plates and some minor plates as well.
Dessert plates.
That are the outer crust that are moving over the mantle via the asthenosphere. And that's like this kind of liquid layer, this lubricating layer between the crust and the mantle, right? And then so anytime these boundaries are, there's a potential for volcanic activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the all-encompassing explanation for volcanoes, right?
That's right.
There are several ways that volcanic activity can occur as far as plate tectonics goes. Let's cover those first, Chuckers.
I'll take the first one.
Okay.
These plates can move away from each other sometimes. Not necessarily toward each other. They can move away. When they move away from each other, underwater, under the water.
Right.
It's so specific.
Subsurface.
Subsurface. Then that's an ocean ridge. If it's under the land, it's a continental ridge.
Right.
And these plates drift apart, and then the mantle all of a sudden doesn't have as much pressure, so it can actually melt, finally, because it's so hot.
Right.
And then it bubbles up through the little cracks there. Then once it gets there, it gets cool, hardens again, forms an all-new crust, and kind of just fills up that gap.
Exactly.
And that's called spreading center volcanism.
And that's where two plates are moving apart.
Moving apart.
Now, if you want to talk about subduction zone volcanism, which I do, if you'll allow me, that's where two plates are moving together. And if you remember from the earthquake podcast, we covered a lot of this and that too. A subduction zone is where plates are pressing up against one another and one is pushed under the other, right?
Yeah.
This forms a trench. A hole in the earth.
Big time.
Okay. So with the spreading center volcanism, magma flowed out because of this this lower pressure. It was allowed to go to its liquid form. With subduction
zone. We haven't said what magma is. That's liquid rock.
Nice, Chuck.
Very important.
It is. This is what makes up the mantle for the most part as well.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the stuff that is very hot but is under so much pressure it stays solid.
Well, I think it becomes magma once it turns fluid.
Okay. And then here's the distinction between magma and lava. Once it exits the earth.
It becomes lava.
It's lava.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Okay. Nice one, Chuck. Good catch.
Thank you.
So with subduction zone volcanism, the magma, actually the melting point is lowered, with the introduction of water. So either water enters the trench created by the subduction zone or ambient water from the rock around it enters it.
Yeah, or it's like it's squeezed out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So either way, this introduction of water lowers the melting point and allows this the mantle to become magma as is its destiny, right?
So that's colliding and then shifting under one another.
Subduction.
You can also collide. And you just collide. You meet each other head on, two plates collide,
right.
And boom, you've got mountains. Not volcanoes.
You do. Right.
Mountains.
Right. But this is usually just a subduction zone that hasn't happened yet. Eventually, one of them is probably going to slip under the other and bada boom, bada bing.
But
for the meantime, they're just
a
couple of rams.
Yeah.
And then you've got plates moving up against each other. I think that was a slip strike fault, wasn't it, in the earthquake podcast?
I don't remember.
I think it was, where they're just like one's going south and one's going north.
Right.
That forms a transform plate boundary, and there's almost never volcanic activity.
Right. There's another way they can form, and this is kind of a cool one, interplate or hotspot volcanic activity.
Right. We should say that everything we just talked about, all of those were found along plate boundaries.
Yeah,
on this
boundaries.
Is like within a solid plate, right?
Yeah, within a plate, you can get a hot spot in the middle of it because the mantle basically forms a hot plume. It comes up from the bottom and gets hotter and hotter, and then it eventually reaches, you know, right underneath, I guess the lithosphere. Nice. I guess the lithosphere, and creates a hot spot, and it's really an unusual heat. It forms magma right under the Earth's crust.
Right.
And that stays there, but then the plates move over it, and as each plate moves over it, it forms a whole string of little volcanoes.
Which is how the Hawaii volcanoes were created.
Yeah.
70 million years old, by the way.
Very old.
This is a very slow process, but it is a process. If you sped it up really fast, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, this plate's moving over it, and that's that hotspot volcano, right?
Yes.
Interplate volcanic activity is what it's called.
Yeah, and I think they point out that most of the land volcanoes are the subduction zone that you mentioned, and then the hotspot ones.
Right. And then in the ocean, it's mostly the spreading center of volcanism, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Chuck, we've got magma, right?
Yeah.
Or let's say we don't have magma. We have a mantle.
Yeah.
And then something happens, so this mantle shifts a little bit and starts to move upward.
Right.
Right? Something is given way to the downward pressure of the rock surrounding it. And so this magma, which is hot, it's just under a lot of pressure.
Right.
And it wants to be liquid. It's less dense, and it's able to move up.
Yeah.
The further it moves up, the less pressure there is. Yeah. So it's just going to keep going upward and upward and upward.
Yeah.
And that's how magma starts to move toward the Earth's surface, right?
Yes.
And one thing, I used to build ponds for a living. And one thing that is, you'll find when you ever try to build a pond, water is very lazy and it wants to go to the path of least resistance. Liquids are, right? So it will always find something you overlooked and cause a leak.
Yeah.
Same thing I imagine with lava or magma. It's liquid, so it's going through any crack or crevice it can find. And as long as the upward pressure created by the lower density of the magma is greater than the downward pressure of the surrounding rock, it'll keep going up.
Yeah, but once there is enough pressure, like let's say it just kept going up and eventually would spew out and you've got a volcano. But if there just happens to be enough pressure and it's like, no, stop, then it kind of has a little waiting zone in a magma chamber.
Right. And it just fills up and it's like, I can wait 70 million years.
Yeah,
brother.
But it's waiting.
Right.
Don't be mistaken, brother. It's now, there.
That we just sounded like ZZ Top.
I know.
Jerry liked that one, didn't
I know.
So Chuck, that explains how lava enters the Earth's crust, holes in the Earth's crust, and creates, what we'll talk about in a second, Hawaiian type volcanoes. Hawaiian type eruptions, I should say, where basically the lava is just coming out, bubbling up over the surface and flowing real slowly.
Right.
Creating little lava ponds, right, in craters and stuff like this. Just, it's cool looking.
Sure.
Not very dangerous if you can walk at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's slow.
Right, or even drag yourself slowly. You could probably beat the lava.
Yeah.
But the one that everybody wants to know about are eruptions, like the spectacular, like the Iceland volcano.
Right.
I'm not even going to attempt a pronunciation of this, which, by the way, cost at least $1.7 billion to the airlines alone in lost revenue.
Really?
Yeah. That was a stratovolcano, by the way. We'll talk about that in a minute, okay?
Yes.
But with a huge explosion, it's not just this lower density of the magma.
No.
It has to do with the gases inside. And magma is what magma eats, right?
Yeah, and this is sort of like it reminds me of the Lake Nyos exploding lakes. It's a buildup of gas pressure internally within the magma. It's a lot of dissolved gas, and they're stuck that way, dissolved, which is all fine, and they're kept, you know, thanks to pressure, confined in there. But when the vapor pressure gets greater than the pressure surrounding it, it forms little vesicles, which are little gas bubbles.
And then it's go time.
And that's when you know you got some trouble, because those bubbles, they got to get out. It's like a soda can.
It's exactly like, it's the exact same principle of a soda, right? So if you open a soda, all the bubbles rush to the top.
And that's right? If it's just a regular old non-shaken.
You haven't touched it or anything.
Yeah.
If you shake it up, you're actually mixing those bubbles in with the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So when those bubbles rush to the top, they're going to bring a lot of the liquid with them. This is the same exact principle that's behind a volcanic eruption, okay?
But in this case, magma is the soda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the bubbles are the gases from the dissolved rock.
Yeah.
Okay? Right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So then there's two factors. You said that that pressure was had everything to do with volcanic activity.
Sure.
With eruptions, there's two general factors that really have an effect on what kind of volcanic eruption mm-hmm. takes place. And that is viscosity, which is, I can never keep it straight, but now I've got it. Viscosity is the ability to resist flow, right?
Yeah, it's thick opposite of being fluid.
Right. If it's high viscosity, which means it has a high ability to resist flow, which means it's thick stuff. It's molasses.
Yeah.
If it has a low ability to resist flow, meaning you're pouring something out of a cup and creating flow, if it has a low ability, it's going to flow very easily and quickly out of it. So it's low viscosity. So viscosity and the amount of gas bubbles present are going to determine what kind of volcanic eruption you have, right?
If it's high viscosity, which means it's very thick, then it will be a big eruption.
Right.
Because it tried very hard to get out.
Exactly.
And then the opposite is true if it's low viscosity.
And the more gas is present, the more, imagine just these little bubbles, the more little bubbles there are trying to get out, the higher the viscosity, the harder they're going to try to get out. And then when they do get out, kaboom.
Right. Which is determined by how much silicon is in the magma, which I thought that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Or not weird, but just, I had no idea.
So, Chuck, we have, when it does go kaboom, that's called the eruption column, right? It's composed of hot gas, ash, pyroclastic rocks, which is lava in solid form.
Yeah.
Right? And that one flow I was talking about in Hawaii, the real slow kind of lumbering flow where it's just bubbling over, it's effusive.
Yeah, and that's not super dangerous because it's so slow, but it's still destructive.
Eventually, yeah.
Slowly destructive.
If you're a plant that's stationary, you're in trouble.
Because plants can't walk at all.
Let's talk about the different types of eruptions, man.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these. My favorite is the Strombolian.
It's definitely the most delicious
of
all these eruptions.
Clearly, for one reason and one reason alone. It's pretty impressive, not too dangerous. About 50 to 100 feet in the air. It's going to be spewing little short bursts. Very highly viscous. So gas really has to build up in order for this to happen. But they're pretty small eruptions, not much lava going on.
They make a big boom.
Yeah, a little ashy tephra, mm-hmm. which is always nice in your volcanic eruption.
Right, and tephra is that fallen volcanic material.
Yeah.
A lot of things like undergo a change in name after they've been a verb at some point.
Yeah.
So like it goes from magma to lava to tephra.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's all rock.
Or it depends. It could be ash. Tephra is just any of the material that comes out of the volcano and is landed.
Oh, I thought you said originally it was all magma.
That's pyre. Well, yeah.
But
yes, you're right. You're good. Good, Chuck.
All right.
And then we also have the Plinian eruption, right?
Which the Big Daddy.
Yeah, this is the type of eruption that covered, that came out of Mount Vesuvius in, I think, 79 AD.
Yeah.
And covered Herculaneum and Pompeii.
Yeah. These are the Big Daddies that you think of when you think of volcano. The big upward thrust, the 30-mile column of junk that is shooting out. That is the Plinian eruption.
Right.
Sustained.
That's the one you think of.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad news for anyone around there. Don't you think?
I would think so, yeah. And not even right around there. I mean, like, it can shoot pyroclastic material 30 miles into the air.
Hundreds of feet per second.
That's a big explosion,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So I imagine, I couldn't find, I looked all over the place to find out what type of eruption the Iceland volcano underwent in April.
Couldn't find it,
but this sounds a lot like a Plinian eruption.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were shutting down air service in, like, southern Europe, because of the ash that had entered the atmosphere from this, it sounds like it was probably plenty.
Mount St. Helens, I guess, was too, right?
Oh, yeah. Basically, all the ones you can rattle off the top of your head, those are probably plenty in volcanoes.
Strombolians don't make the news.
No.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right, and the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about the Hawaiian?
Those are the really slow, effusive ones, right?
Yeah, but they have, like, fire fountains. Like, they're cool to look at.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's cool sounding.
Yeah. And they can produce lava lakes, which are ponds of lava, craters. Pretty cool.
Yes.
I've never been to Hawaii, though. Have you?
No, Strickland has.
Oh, yes, he has.
He loves talking about the Hawaiian eruptions. He loves butchering the Hawaiian names of things, too.
Are those other ones smaller and less frequent, the Vulcanian, Hydrovolcanic, and Fissure?
Yeah, the most common eruption types are the Plinian, Hawaiian, and Strombolian.
Okay.
And then less common, like the real, like if you're an aficionado of volcanoes,
right.
Then you're going to want to know about the Vulcanian, Hydrovolcanic, and Fissure, like you said. The Fissure has the curtain of fire. It occurs along like a trench. It's not like a mountain. It's... Basically, there's a tear in the earth.
Right.
And the magma is becoming lava and like this big curtain of fire.
Wow.
You can't really call it anything else and it be as dead on.
Sure. The Vulcanian is cool because of the pyroclastic bombs that it will shoot into the air. Like football-sized bombs of hot rock.
This is the earth being angry.
Yeah.
The gods are awakening.
Well, this is the earth saying, I'm moving around, dude.
And then hydrovolcanic, it bears a little explaining. This is a volcano that takes place not underwater, but near water, near a very high humidity area. And basically the interaction of the water creates this chain reaction that turns the volcanic material into this fine ash, right? It can also melt a lot of surrounding snow, which can cause landslides and a lot of trouble for people.
Indeed.
Yes. So those are the types of eruptions. Are you still awake and are you still with us so far? Ready? What's this? Ka-ka!
Right. People are like, oh.
Yeah.
The sun. should we talk about the shapes or just the frequency of eruption?
Well, let's talk about the shapes because okay. there's three components to a volcano, every volcano, right?
Yeah.
You've got the magma chamber, which we talked about. It's where it builds up.
Yep.
You've got the central vent, which mm-hmm. is this little connecting area. This is where it starts to, this is the fissure that it comes out of.
Yeah. Connects the chamber to the crater.
Right. You've got the summit crater, yeah. which is where it explodes out of, right?
Yes.
And then, you've got different types of volcanoes, three main shapes. And the stratovolcanoes, so a stratovolcano with a Plinian eruption is what everyone thinks of as a volcano.
Yeah,
right?
The classic, what you would build for your science school project with the baking soda, that's a stratovolcano.
That's right.
Unless you're a really forward-thinking kid and you're like, I'm going to build a scoria cone volcano for extra points.
Which, actually, if you did do that, you'd be pretty smart because while the stratovolcano is the most familiar, the scoria cone volcano is the most common.
Yeah, I guess that would be a very smart kid.
Yes, and if there's any seventh graders out there looking for a cooler volcano,
yeah.
You want to add a little zing to your volcano, make a scoria cone and say Josh and Chuck sent you.
Yeah, and get prepared to be beaten by your classmates.
Scoria cones, by the way, if you need a little help, are they're smaller, they're steep on both sides, and they're very wide, right?
Yes.
And they're usually composed of ashy tephra.
Ashy tephra. Shield volcanoes, that's the last kind. They're wide, short, low viscosity dispersal of lava. So it's just a big oozing blob, basically, and it builds up into like a shield-like dome. And these erupt like every few years.
Right.
Very, very frequent.
So we'll talk about eruption in a second. A good example of a shield volcano is Mauna Loa, and a good example of a scoria cone is Sunset Crater in Arizona.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Chuck.
Josh.
You ever heard of Crater Lake in Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, isn't there like a down World War II plane or something in there?
I don't know.
Or is that just like a Clive Cussler novel I'm thinking of?
I have no idea.
Well, Crater Lake was actually an extinct volcano. Basically, the magma chamber blew it all at once, collapsed in on itself. The crater collapses in on itself, and it eventually fills in with water.
Yeah, it's called a caldera.
Yes.
Until it's full of water, then it's called a lake.
That's right.
Once again, add something, change the name.
How many volcanoes are there active right now, working in the world today?
I'm going to guess 400.
You would be off by about 100.
300?
500.
Ah.
What do you mean you're going to guess? You have the same information I do.
I was trying to mix it up. They are active volcanoes, 500 around the world, and the classification's a little inexact.
Even the revised classification's a little inexact.
I didn't see much of a difference, actually.
Here's why, though. This is why it's inexact and subjective, because we don't have anything that won't melt if we try to really get a good look inside of a volcano.
Yeah.
So it's all just kind of like, well, yeah, it's smoking, so we're going to call that an active volcano. Remember
yeah.
the ones in, there was at least one when we were in Guatemala, remember?
Yeah.
And then one went off right after Jerry was there.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We'll find out after we stop recording and ask her.
Okay. So the classifications, even though it's inexact, we will quote them here. If it's erupting, obviously, or demonstrating some kind of activity.
Within recorded history.
Right. Then it's active. And why we say it's inaccurate is because recorded history varies.
Yeah.
Big time. If it is not showing any signs, but it has erupted.
Within the last 10,000 years.
Then it is, you know, could potentially erupt again. So it's dormant, but it could go off. If it has not erupted in 10,000 years, then it's extinct, they say.
Right.
But I say, all bets are off, man. You never know.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think if you're dealing with plate tectonics and there's clearly not any kind of magma chamber around that we can detect, it probably is extinct. But as we said, they have revised the rating of volcanoes,
yeah.
right? So now, if it's showing anything, is that what you just did was the revised version? Because they really are similar to the original version.
Yeah.
Basically, the only change is now if it's showing anything, then it's active, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. And here's the cool fact of the day, right? And any given day, 10 volcanoes are erupting.
Yeah. That aren't a big deal, probably.
Well, they are if you're standing next to them.
Yeah, but it's, you know, not newsmakers, I would say.
Yeah. And then one volcano is thought to have wiped out an entire civilization, Santorini in Greece.
Really?
Yeah, the Minoan civilization suddenly disappeared, and they're starting to think that it was because...
they melted?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, that's it for volcanoes. If you want to see some really boss volcano pictures, I know where you can. Just type volcanoes into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. If you made it through this one, pat yourself on the back. But hey, we've all got to understand volcanoes, right?
Am I
right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Since I said search bar, that means it's time for listener mail.
So that is not only the end of volcanoes, Josh. That's the end of 2010.
That is something else. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Can you believe another year?
We're in the future. 2010. Like, I thought it'd be in, like, spaceships and have pill meals that I could eat.
I have pill meals in my pocket right now, if you want.
Really?
Sure.
What you got?
I have pot roast.
Nice.
And turkey and stuff.
Did you add water and it becomes a big meal, or you just eat it? And
just eat it.
And it tastes like all that and get filled up.
Yeah.
Nice. So, you know, at the end of every year, we like to say thanks, obviously. We're still on the air, and we wouldn't be if you guys weren't listening.
No.
We would be, you know, just doing our regular thing, writing the articles.
Crying ourselves to sleep.
Crying ourselves to sleep.
Yeah, thank you for listening to all of you.
Absolutely.
All of you new people, all of you vets, all of you returning friends, everybody. Happy New Year to all of you.
Very much.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's all I've got. I mean, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, because I just want to keep on going through 2011.
Yeah.
2012. We're not
here's,
going anywhere.
Here's to the next year and 11 months.
Yeah.
And 11 days left of Earth.
Yeah.
Right?
You want me to sing Auld Lang Syne?
Please. Can we get Jerry to put it over?
Or at least...
Surely there's no rights on Auld Lang Syne.
Or at least Fogelberg's same Auld Lang Syne?
Let's hear it.
The saddest song in history?
Oh, that is a good one.
Oh, God.
Let's hear it, Chuck.
Oh, no. Never. But I do have listener mail.
Well, do you know what album that appeared on?
The Innocent Age.
Okay, so was it a good album?
Yeah, I mean, I actually own that. I was a little kid. I was like 12 listening to that song thinking it was sad when I was 12.
And that's Dan Fogelberg.
Yes.
And it's, what's the name?
Same Auld Lang Syne.
And what's the album?
The Innocent Age.
Okay.
So this is listener mail, Josh, from Kyle, and this is about our Hanukkah podcast.
Yeah.
Which we got some pretty good marks from our Jewish friends.
Yeah, we did, here or there.
Although I will
say... We got a good try.
I had a few people that are converted Jews say, hey, Chuck, when you said it's not the same thing, that really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying for you, it's not the same for me. Like, I would feel like a... I would still feel like a goy.
So it's not the same for you, but in Chuck's opinion of you, it's the same.
Yeah, that doesn't make you any less Jewish if you've converted. I wasn't saying that at all.
Gotcha,
so I want
gotcha.
To clear that up.
I was kidding.
Don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Hey, guys, great job on the Hanukkah podcast. I'm a 17-year-old from Des Plaines, Illinois.
It's the home of the McDonald's Museum, right?
Home of the first McDonald's.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Nice.
I was raised atheist my whole life until the fourth grade when I learned about religion, and as much as... research a fourth grader can do, I decided I wanted to be Jewish. I love this guy. In the fourth grade, he was like, I want to be Jewish.
That's pretty cool.
And he did it. I realized that in college, and I didn't do it.
Right.
I ended up converting, being bar mitzvahed, learned Hebrew, and now plan on joining the Israeli army.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard about this.
The real deal.
Yeah.
I find it to be an amazing religion, and I loved your podcast on it. I just want to show you something you might find interesting. Nun, Gimel, Hey, Shin, which appear on the dreidel in almost every country in the world. Nes Gadol Hayasham means a great miracle happened there. While in Israel, the dreidel says Nun, Gimel, Hey, Pei, which means a great miracle happened here.
Cool.
So in Israel, they have a different dreidel because it's like it happened here, not there. So I've always found that interesting. Just want to let you in. Thanks for the podcast. And that is from Kyle, the new... Jew.
I really think Kyle was on NPR. I heard an interview with somebody who had converted in the U.S. and was now like going to Israel to join the Israeli army.
Was it a young guy like that?
Yeah, he was youngish.
Dude, it might be him.
I wonder if it was. We'll have to check it out.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
He should have come to us first, though.
I agree wholeheartedly. He's making the rounds of the media circuit, right?
Hey, by the way. I mean, that's what he's saying to everybody.
Right, yeah. I was on Stuff You Should Know and NPR.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, again, happy 2011 to you. Happy New Year. Congratulations, sir, on another year, making it through another year with me, having to deal with me.
Hey, it's every year gets easier. 2011 is going to be a breeze.
Nice. If you have a New Year's resolution that you think is worth writing down and sending to us, you can also bring it up on Facebook. I'm sure there'll be plenty of stuff there. You can tweet it to us, SYSK Podcast. And if you want to just put it in an email, if you're a confidential type, address it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.